And now the numbers are in. The State of the Nation's housing report is out from Harvard University, and none of it is good. Nicholas Retsinas, good morning.
Good morning.
Who's in the most trouble?
Well, it's a long list, but clearly at the top of the list are the more than a million homeowners who are losing their home or have lost their home. They are clearly suffering the most.
Nicholas Retsinas is the director of the Joint Housing Studies at Harvard University. Your latest survey, what does it show, Nicholas?
Not a lot of good news. As we all know, we are in the throes of a housing market downturn. The report documents that by many perspectives, it is the most severe downturn in a generation. While we've seen at other times drop off in sales and starts, it's very unusual that it's been correlated with such a large national home price decline.
And there's one number that really sticks out, which is more nearly 9 million Americans are spending more than half of their income on housing. How do you explain that?
Well, it is in some ways the worst of both worlds. You have a falling housing, downward slumping housing market where prices are falling, but at the same time, as our economy continues to produce low-wage jobs, people are finding it increasingly difficult to pay to find housing that is affordable. And as you point out, a record number are paying a disproportionate amount of their income for either rent or mortgages.
Okay, let's talk about all these numbers. Home foreclosures have doubled the past year, and by nearly every measurement, home sales down, home prices down, home values down, lots of numbers. What's the bottom line?
Well, first of all, it's a big country, so most of the country is suffering. There are some pockets that are doing okay. The bottom line is we built too many homes, and we cannot now sell those homes, which is lowering the price. At the same time, anybody who might have been interested in buying a home doesn't have access to credit. Credit is constrained as a result of the subprime debacle over a year ago. So the end result is we can't seem to dig our way out of this, at least in the short term.
Well, you know, the thing that is so striking to me is that for most of my adult life, I've been told that home ownership is the center of your economic security, is the basis for, your wealth as you imagine getting older. And it seems from looking at these statistics that that has reversed almost overnight, and that owning a home is now akin to economic suicide. It's one of the dumbest things you can do. Am I reading something wrong here?
Well, you may be overreading it a bit, but it is a wake-up call that owning a home is not a riskless investment. It's not an investment where you're guaranteed to make money always sort of over time. Over the long run, it has been an important source of wealth creation. But in a sense, over the last few years, we overinvested in housing. And as a result, we overbuilt. And as a result, the basic laws of supply and demand lead to lower prices.
Nicholas.
So a lot of people who thought that they had owned a home, in fact, were just renting a home because they really weren't paying off a mortgage anyway.
Oh, that's interesting. Because you're not improving your equity, right?
Exactly.
Now, Nicholas, you said there are some parts of the country that are doing better than others. Can you tell us where there is some good news?
Well, pockets in the Pacific Northwest, though even that's beginning to slow, parts of the Carolina, parts of Texas, in that case related somewhat to the increase in oil prices. So there are pockets, there are communities, but more and more metropolitan areas are seeing price declines, with more likely to come.
And why did you say that those areas are managing to sustain in a way that others are not?
A couple of different reasons. One, their local economies are still pretty solid, pretty strong. Secondly, they did not engage in the overbuilding that other parts of the country. For example, look at the Southwest, Las Vegas and Phoenix. Over the decade, they almost doubled the number of homes they built, and increasingly they sold those homes to investors. That was a recipe for disaster.
Is there any indication from the regional data that you have of how we're going to come out of this as a nation? Any community that sort of tells the story of how we're all going to emerge from this if we do anytime soon?
Well, no, because it's too big a country, because there really are very, very different housing markets. But we suspect, as we look at the data, that, let's say, the Northeast is probably likely to come out of it before the Southwest, because there wasn't that overbuilding, the Northeast being essentially fully developed. other parts of the country, let's say the Midwest, the story there is not so much an overheated housing market, but it is a crumbling economy. So its prospects for long-term recovery are much more suspect.
Well, Nicholas, thank you very much. That's really interesting stuff.
Nicholas Retsinas, thank you.
Thank you.
Nicholas Retsinas is the director of the Joint Housing Studies at Harvard University.
If you have a housing story to tell us, you can, of course, join our conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. What is your story of home ownership? Is it a happy story, or is the party over for you? And also, we're still getting responses in from yesterday from the death of George Carlin, someone who obviously meant a lot to a lot of us. And we'll be playing some of those later on in the hour. But anyway, you can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and mytake@thetakeaway.org. And later we're going to be talking about, like, you know, lying, right? Which you never do.
I just got an email, though, on George Carlin.
Oh,
Mike in Brooklyn says his condensing of the Ten Commandments was a great example of his brilliance. He was also a great representative of the, quote, old New York attitude.
Religious efficiency. We don't need all ten of those commandments, according to George Carlin.
Right. We can condense a few of them.
Part of a vast...
Like coveting your neighbor's wife and adultery. He said they're the same
thing. The same thing. Well, you know,
make them one.
Make them one.
Make them one.
Right. Commandment consolidation. Part of the national conversation here on The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.